This is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. O-Pill is the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. Let's be real, getting a birth control prescription is not always easy and it's so much admin. In fact, about a third of women face barriers to access prescription birth control. Between scheduling appointments, missing work, class, or just trying to exist, it's a lot. But now O-Pill is putting birth control in our control. O-Pill is a daily birth control that's FDA approved, full prescription strength and estrogen free, and 98% effective when used as directed. Grab it online or at most major retailers, no prescription or doctor's appointment needed. So if you're thinking about birth control, check out O-Pill to see if it's right for you. Use code GIGGLY for 25% off your first month of O-Pill at OPILL.com. That's code GIGGLY at OPILL.com. Birth control in your control. We love to see it.
I got a DUI less than 12 hours later. It was on TMZ. I thought, this is it. You ruined your life. That's when it hit me, I think. Bruises and the stitches and the broken arm. I wanted to take accountability for it and say, yes, I screwed up and I'm going to do whatever I can to try and make it better. Sometimes when you think that you're in such a deep hole you can't get out, someday it'll make sense.
My guest today is Shannon Bedore. She has been through a lot, a very public infidelity scandal and divorce. She had a DUI, which she sought treatment for. She is a Real Housewife of Orange County, and her new show, Love Hotel, is on Peacock. I'm very excited to chat with Shannon today. I think it'll be a really interesting conversation. No idea what to expect. I think being an internet celebrity is kind of like doing reality TV in that you're like letting a lot of yourself be known out there. But, you know, she's really been in it. She's been doing it for over a decade. It's incredibly funny and very vulnerable. I'm looking forward to the conversation. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Shannon Bedore. Shannon Bedore's Rock Bottom. Shannon Bedore, welcome to Rock Bottom.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Rock Bottom.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. You know, it's a show about people's lowest moments and how they recovered from them.
Yeah, I've had my fair share.
Yeah, I know. I've been reading about you and watching the show. I mean, you're a Real Housewife of Orange County. You have a new show, Love Hotel.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever met a real housewife. I mean, this is very, very exciting, I think.
Well, you're very kind. I mean, it's just, it still hasn't hit me. I just finished my 11th year.
Yeah.
And it hasn't hit me that I'm on a TV show. Like, I go to the market with no makeup on and I'm, you know, it's odd that's what I do.
How do you approach that public-private boundary? I mean, do you feel like, because so much of the show, you're like revealing parts of yourself.
Right. Well, if someone does approach me, I'm kind to them because, first of all, that they have the courage to do that, because I don't know that I would. But, you know, they always say kind things. So I always take the time and, you know, get to know a little bit about them or give them a little tidbit of something.
Do you feel that way when you're filming? Like, you're always trying to kind of give little juicy tidbits?
No, I've got some castmates that say, oh, you're so different off the camera. No, I'm not. I am the same on or off camera. So, and it makes it very easy to keep track of things because I'm just myself. So I don't like to calculate. I like to go off the cuff and not know what's happening and just react like just I normally would.
Feel like you're an open book type of thing.
I am. And people criticize me for it. And I'm a little bit emotional, but it's who I am. Yeah. But I'm a little less reactive because when I've hit some rock bottom times, I have overreacted. So I'm getting better with it. Hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you need to like keep things private?
There's a lot of things I'd like to keep private. I got a DUI in September of 2023 and, you know, less than 12 hours later, it was on TMZ. So, that was the time where I wish things were private.
Yeah, in other interviews, you've referred to that as your rock bottom moment. I'd love for anyone that doesn't know if you could describe what happened.
Sure. I've made some poor choices, especially in the relationship category. And when I've been miserable, then I would drink more used it as a coping mechanism. I don't anymore, but I was in a in a relationship that was toxic, and we got back together, even though he says we didn't. And we got into an argument, and I knew the relationship had to end. And I had my car at his home, which I never did. And I only had $3 to go. So I thought, I'm not going to leave my car here and have him have to come here tomorrow to get it. We're done. And I went to the engine to let him know how mad I was when he was standing in the driveway, and I smashed into a planter across the street. And I didn't have my phone, so I just kept thinking I need help, and the car broke down, and it was just a mess. And I got arrested, and I got pretty injured. I'd never broken a bone in my body, but I did. I broke my nose and my arm, and it was just an eye-opening moment for me. I'm 61 now, but I was 59 when that happened. That's embarrassing. You know, I'll talk to people that'll try and make me feel better and say, oh, I had a DUI. Yeah, when you were 19. Mm-hmm. But I was 59. So, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful I didn't hurt anyone. Yeah. I still read about, there were a couple of stories this weekend about that poor child in LA that was hit and killed in Manhattan Beach. And I just think, what? I don't know how I would have been able to move forward if I'd hurt somebody. So I'm grateful for that. And I think God has a plan. You know what? I had to open my eyes and make some good changes in my life. And at 61, I feel like I'm in the best place that I've ever been. So sometimes when you think that you're in such a deep hole you can't get out, someday it'll make sense.
What was going through your mind when it kind of all felt real? Like, was there a certain moment where you're like, you've crashed, your car won't start, the police are coming?
When I grabbed my phone and I walked back to my car, the police were there and I went unconscious. So,
oh, wow.
And they took me to the hospital. So I didn't really process it then. And it was still in a bit of a fog. I remember being at the hospital and I hadn't seen myself. And I said, I have to do press this week. I'm going to be good, right? And they're like, yeah, you're going to be. I didn't have a mirror. I was so beat up. So that's when it hit me, I think, when all the bruises and the stitches and the broken arm and all that happened. And I didn't think I'd be able to get over it. I thought, this is it. You've ruined your life. So
yeah.
You got to keep pushing forward. I have three daughters, and I want to always be an example for them. And what did I do? So today, like they'll say, Mom, we're proud of how hard you've worked on yourself and to try and do better things in
your
life.
So what was that process of approaching recovery like? I mean, I know that you went to a treatment center.
I did get a lot of offers to go to an alcohol rehab, but yes, I was drinking more, but I knew that I wanted to focus on why I made a lot of toxic choices in my life. So I went to a place that was local I can't say what it is, but it was like a mental health facility. And I did an intensive outpatient program for 30 days. And I went every day, you know, from 8 to 6. And, you know, that's a lot of therapy. And one of the hardest things I think that because we haven't talked about your story, but you might feel this, is like you have a lot of guilt and shame when you've done something that you know has hurt yourself and hurt others. And so that was the hardest thing for me, to those kind of sessions or group sessions, is to be in the guilt and shame.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that's so powerful about group therapy and 12-step programs and kind of those environments where you're, you know, because I went through a very similar thing and was doing lots of group therapy, was treatment and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's a really powerful way to kind of start to release that guilt and shame and to kind of begin a healing process.
Right.
Because you're hearing everyone else's stories and you kind of are feeling that shared sense of suffering.
Right. I mean, and also, like, when you hear other people share their story, you might feel that you were in the worst place in the world. And there's always going to be someone that tells a story. Like, there was someone in my group that had been wrongfully incarcerated and had spent over 10 years in solitary confinement.
Wow.
And he didn't even do the crime. So, oh, I think I've got it tough. No, this is a walk in the park. So sometimes when you hear other people's stories, you're grateful for the place that you're in.
Yeah, totally. Did that change your relationship with alcohol? I mean,
it did. It did. And, you know, for me, it was important to, I don't want to be one of those people because there have been others that say, oh, I'm never going to drink again, and that they do. So I drink responsibly now, and I'm very aware of it. So if I feel as though alcohol becomes an issue, then I'll address that. But I'm good. Like, I'll go out and have a couple drinks, and I'm good.
I mean, it did become an issue, though.
It did when I was upset. Okay. When I was upset. So that's how I would cope. And now I use different coping mechanisms, cold. You know, if you put the cold on, you do breathing. I go outside. I take a walk. I've got now two dogs. So there's other things that I do if I'm upset rather than escaping with alcohol.
Yeah. I think a lot of that work is like confronting kind of what are the demons or the dark voids that kind of push you to that place. And then
it just made it easier. You know, it's like I wanted to forget my misery. So, let's have a cocktail.
Yeah.
Or four.
Yeah. Was there any sort of spiritual component to it?
I am spiritual. Yeah. And one of my punishments for my DUI was to do community service. And I worked at my church in the thrift shop. And now I do it quite often whenever I'm free. So I'm there all the time. I finished the hours like last year or whatever. But I like to do it. And it feels good to give back. So again, you know, had all this happened, I wouldn't be doing that. So
yeah. Giving back is really like it's a way of kind of building esteem in yourself.
And also, just to see the people that you're helping, that makes you feel good. So
now it's about 2 years later, maybe a year and a half later. Mm-hmm. Do you feel different?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a different person. Hmm. And I still, after the DUI, I kind of kept my circle really tight. And I still do. Like if I go out to dinner, I go to my little neighborhood restaurants. I don't like to go to big events and that sort of thing. And I'm comfortable with that. And I'm a relationship person. I've always been in a relationship. And so I made the choice to not date anyone for a year. Mm. And now I would like to have the partner. But if I don't, I'm going to be okay. Like I kind of enjoy the alone time. I don't know how to pronounce it right. I do a lot of Sudoku.
I think you can say it a variety of ways.
I do Sudoku. The numbers
I say Sudoku.
Yeah, I'm staying in LA tonight, and I brought one of my books with me.
Yeah. So, I love that though. I mean, it sounds like the relationship and relational trauma kind of was connected to alcohol and then this incident, and now you've kind of been able to date yourself,
right? And I'm comfortable with myself. Like I'll even go out to eat with my dog and sit outside by myself, and I would never do things like that. So,
really?
And so I'm proud of myself that I feel comfortable. But then a year in, the opportunity to join the Love Hotel came. So I thought, okay, this is kind of good timing.
Yeah.
See what it's like to possibly date again.
That sounds like a very healthy evolution for sure.
I think so. I do think so. And I pinch myself even on the Love Hotel. I didn't even realize it, but it was the 1 year anniversary of my DUI. And I took a selfie of myself because I took a selfie of myself the night of the crash. And to see where I had been the year before, and to be in the place that I am now, I'm just incredibly blessed and grateful.
Now that sense of gratitude, I think, is something that I think I hardly ever practiced that before. You know, it's very self-centered and very negative, and just that mind shift towards just writing down 12 things you're grateful for every single night.
Do you do that?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. I just think it through my head. But I do when I wake up and when I go to bed.
Yeah.
And part of that list all the time is that I didn't hurt anyone. That's just I always have to remind. I got a breathalyzer in my car because I wanted to be reminded of the mistake that I made. And I I do remind myself of it by being grateful I didn't hurt anyone every day, because I don't want to forget my, you know, how one poor choice and 10 seconds can change so many things.
Yeah. Did you have to create more boundaries around?
Well, before I got the DUI, I never drank and drove. My CFO said, what is up with these Uber bills? But on this particular night, you know, you have one night, you have an argument, you don't think straight. So, you know, but I don't have it in my car anymore, but I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm responsible.
Tell me a little bit more about your new approach to relationships and the show. I mean,
it's interesting being on a reality show, because a lot of that can be considered toxic.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always drama and arguing and that sort of thing. So I have, I think, been able to navigate through being on a dramatic show, but also creating healthy boundaries. If I believe that a friendship or a relationship with a man is toxic, yeah, I'm going to create a healthy boundary. I used to walk off when I was mad going, I'm done. But then I would always come back. Mm. This time when I say I'm done, like, I'm saying I'm done because it's not healthy for me to be in that situation. So, and when I started the Love Hotel, I never paid attention to the red flags. like, they could be waving in front of my face. And I just would say, oh, this is a bad day, or this, just try and put it out of my head. So today I pay attention to the red flags.
I mean, it's funny because, like, I can't imagine being in that a situation where you're dating and you have a bunch of cameras on you. And then I realize, like, that's sort of what I was doing as an influencer and a YouTuber. Like, I put a lot of my personal life and my, you know, marriage and family life out there. Like,
a little bit of the difference between you and I is you had control over what was put out there.
Yeah.
I can film for 8 hours and I don't know what part they're going to choose to use in the show.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, I worry. But when you have that microphone in your back, and I've done it for this many years, you forget it's there.
Really?
Yes.
So you're just putting everything out there.
When you put things out there and someone didn't like it or criticized you or was unkind, how would you react? Would you respond?
Full
take it
tilt.
Down?
No.
Oh.
I mean, no. I think I got to an okay place with all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think through much of my career, I'd be very influenced by positive comments and very just depressed by negative comments.
It's like one, you can have one negative one and 500 positive.
Yeah.
You're thinking about that negative one.
Yeah. It's one thing if you can have a like an internal point of view that you're just not paying attention to the noise. And it's another thing when the noise is just reflecting exactly what you're already telling yourself.
Right. Right. Because you beat yourself up, when you make mistakes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I was on the other side of the infidelity.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I fought for my marriage and I stayed. And, but now that I am away from the marriage and divorce, I don't know that I ever could have forgotten it. And that's, you know, because it's such a betrayal, you know?
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I did a lot of relationship counseling with my ex-husband. And
this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Opill is the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. Let's be real. Getting a birth control prescription is not always easy, and it's so much admin. In fact, about a third of women face barriers to access prescription birth control. Between scheduling appointments, missing work, class, or just trying to exist, it's a lot. But now Opill is putting birth control in our control. Opill is a daily birth control that's FDA approved, full prescription strength, and estrogen free, and 98% effective when used as directed. Grab it online or at most major retailers, no prescription or doctor's appointment needed. So if you're thinking about birth control, check out Opill to see if it's right for you. Use code GIGGLY for 25% off your first month of Opill at OPILL.com. That's code GIGGLY at OPILL.com. Birth control in your control. We love to see it.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
They would say that the easiest thing to do if you are the person that cheated is to run away. The fact that you stay and that you answer to people, that's strength. You know, because you could just run away and hide and leave your wife and try and forget about it all.
Right.
But you're not.
We did this truth-telling type of lie detector exercise where it's like you were telling the whole story of what happened.
Did you have a lie detector on you?
This process is you like write everything happened or all the secrets you've been keeping. And then it kind of gets verified by like a real lie detector person. In front of the partner, but this was just that I think it's a therapeutic process.
Well, it is, because when you are cheated on, your imagination can, you know, get the best of you.
Yeah. And I think that specifically is to like reset the, you know, what's real and what's not, and then let you kind of build whatever you're building, whether it's a friendship or a co-parenting relationship or a new marriage, kind of build it from there.
But you had, I called it the day of truth. I had the day of truth, and I spent a month compiling all the questions that I had, and then he sat down and I listed them off. But you had to come up with...
No, I mean, it was same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Questions and answers and... just done with like a therapeutic support system.
That was really helpful for me, because I had so many stories that I had created in my mind that was exactly the opposite. Not that it made it any easier, because that was it's a hard day, you know?
Yeah, it certainly was. But it's also like a turning point type of day.
And then absolutely. It's
like, as the person doing the betraying, you're, you know, practicing having integrity and not keeping secrets. And that's kind of like a demarcation point where you can kind of like start fresh in a way.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It's intense. I mean, that's why the show is rock bottom. I mean, these are really, really challenging moments that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, being on one side or another, or having issues and challenges with substances or
absolutely
legal issues. Like,
and
there's a lot.
Some people that hit rock bottom stay there, you know, and that's unfortunate. But I know a lot of people that have. And you know, you look at a lot of people that are well-known or famous that have hit rock bottom at one point. And it, in the end, it builds character. It makes you a stronger person. It makes you look deep inside. I will tell you, after I found out about the affair, I suspected that it was happening. It went on for about 8 months. And when I wanted to stay in the marriage and try and repair, we had like a date night every weekend. He would meet me for lunch once a week. My relationship with him was better than it was the day that we got married. And I thought, oh, someday I'm going to say this is the best thing that happened to us. But other things, he didn't cheat again, but you know, he had an affair with exercising men, so it didn't work out. He did try, you know, for a couple of years. It was really good, but then it just fell apart again. So
yeah, I mean, you have to keep working at it. Take a lot of hard work.
Yeah, and there's no such thing as a perfect relationship either.
Yeah,
like some people that come in thinking everything's going to work out, there's always going to be things that you have to accept that you might not be your favorite thing.
Right. I can't imagine going through all that in the public eye and resuming filming.
Okay, for me, the affair started the day after my first day of filming.
No way.
Yes. So we wrapped my first season, and then a month later, I found out that he had had the affair.
Did they scramble cameras to?
No, no one knew about it, and we got, you know, we stayed together and we filmed about it the next year, because I wanted to, if I'm on a reality show again. What's the elephant in the room? You just had to flip an affair. So we talked to with the church, we talked to our counselors, we talked to our children, and I'm the first housewife that really kind of dove a little bit deeper into the fact that it had an affair. And it was really hard to watch back, because it's 6 months earlier and you're at such a good point in your relationship. You got to relive it, But the amount of women that reached out to me saying, you give me hope. And, you know, that's the thing. And today they still do say that. And that's why I feel when I get divorced and then I'm in this toxic relationship, I feel like I'm letting people down because I'm not making the right choice. Like, what kind of hope am I giving them, you know, when you can't choose wisely?
Mm. I can see how painful that must have been, that where people reach out to you and say you're such an inspiration, and then you kind of feel like it was exhausting.
Like, some would tell me their story, and I'd go, okay, let's do a call. And then it would be like my whole day would be talking about affairs. Like, I can't do this. Mm. So I kind of took a little bit of a step back. But I feel bad, you know. It's hard out there for older women too. Like, I'm from Orange County. That's where all the men are going out with the young ladies. You know, the second wife.
Right, right.
And a 3-year-old.
This is your ex-husband?
At 60. And he's super happy. And from what I see, because he still doesn't speak to me, is that he's a really good dad. You know, because he's established. When we were younger, it was like, you got to work, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would be supportive of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a good dad.
That must be a confusing feeling for you. I mean, you're like happy, I guess.
I wish him the best. And
yeah,
if he doesn't want to talk to me, that's fine. But it's the weirdest thing. I was married 17 years and with him for 20. It's like, I don't even know who he is. Wow. I don't even, like, I was married to him.
Hmm.
It's just, yeah. So
interesting.
When you went through your issue, did it worry you or bother you about your fans and what they would think of you?
Yeah, of course. One of the hardest things is when people look up to you and they are like expecting something from you to then like disappoint them.
For me, I am who I am. So if people don't like me, it hurts my feelings. But I didn't manufacture anything. But, you know, when I let myself down, I do feel badly for someone that potentially looked up to me and then went, maybe I shouldn't have.
Was there a moment when you're approaching that season filming after the infidelity or, you know, when you're, I guess once TMZ comes, you can't not talk about it. But was there ever a moment where you just wanted to keep it all private?
Oh, yes. And I had an amazing attorney that was able to resolve everything within a month. So then I could speak about it, you know. Oh. I pled guilty to the DUI and I, you know, was able I wanted to take accountability for it and say, mm-hmm. yes, I screwed up and I'm going to do whatever I can to try and make it better. So
yeah. Getting that all ironed out legally was sort of, it let you speak about it and you wanted to speak
about it.
Right.
Well, I did a video a couple weeks after the DUI saying, I will talk when I can.
Mm.
And for those of you that have reached out and been supportive, I appreciate it. And I can't wait to talk. And then BravoCon was 1 month after my DUI. It was right after I finished my mental health facility, a couple days. And the network said, we don't know if you should go. And I said, I absolutely have to go. I don't want to hide under a rock. I want to face the music and I want people to see that I'm doing that. So I was grateful they let me go.
Yeah. That was the opposite. I wanted to hide. And same with Ariel. She also didn't want, you know, we kind of wanted to work through it privately.
I get that. You know, you don't need people piping in, giving you their opinions. You know what you need in your marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very,
and as much
very personal
as,
thing.
As much as you're showing your life or as much as I'm being filmed, no one really knows what goes on behind closed doors. You just see snippets of our lives.
Do you ever get like an edit that kind of takes you in a certain direction where you felt like that was misrepresenting you?
A time or two.
Yeah.
But not, you know what, for the most part, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, totally. So. Over a long enough time, you know, people kind of just get the picture.
It really bothers me when people say, oh, it's all editing. Yeah, okay.
I don't know if I could ever be a reality TV star. Now, I moving forward in my career, I very much like want to keep my personal life private. And I've kind of realized that maybe that was a boundary I should have set like in advance.
Well, but people, when they when they care about you, they want to know everything about your life. I do think that if I enter into another relationship, that I am going to keep it private. When the Love Hotel came out, they used this sentence that I said. I said, I just wish there was someone out there that would say, it's so cute. She's on this little reality show that wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
Because that's, you know, now today I have to think, do they want to be famous? Do they want to hawk their product? Like, do they care about me? Because the last one said, I'm a private person. I'm doing this because I love you. It's a very toxic world. But no, he wanted the limelight.
Oh,
so, you know, I'm the dummy that believed it. So
they said they didn't want the limelight. And then actually that was kind of
And then after we broke up, he started dating the girl whose place I had taken on the show 10 years ago. And they brought her back.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to film with her and when they were 2 months into the relationship.
That's some spicy drama, though. That's
It's a lot. It was a lot.
You got to give the people what they want.
Well, that's it was a bit much. But they're getting married this summer, and I wish them the best.
That's nice. That's nice.
I don't want to go down to a lower level. I don't want my reaction to have me stoop lower. And sometimes it's hard to not react or to say what you want to say, but I'm not going to start at 61 to change, you know, the core of who I am. So some days are hard. I'm not going to lie. Last year when I was filming and we went to London, I flew home by myself early. And when I got home, I didn't want to get out of bed. I was spent. So you go through some hard times, but...
This is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Opill is the first over-the-counter daily birth control pill available in the U.S. Let's be real, getting a birth control prescription is not always easy, and it's so much admin. In fact, about a third of women face barriers to access prescription birth control. Between scheduling appointments, missing work, class, or just trying to exist, it's a lot. But now Opill is putting birth control in our control. Opill is a daily birth control that's FDA approved, full prescription strength and estrogen free, and 98% effective when used as directed. Grab it online or at most major retailers, no prescription or doctor's appointment needed. So if you're thinking about birth control, check out Opill to see if it's right for you. Use code GIGGLY for 25% off your first month of Opill at OPILL.com. That's code GIGGLY at OPILL.com. Birth control in your control. We love to see it.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
You know, in the end, I know God has a plan for me, and this is part of it. I never knew I'd be on a reality show. That was never on my list, to be in front of a camera starting when you're 50. Oh!
What would you do if you weren't a reality TV star?
I'd be divorced, probably, you know, working at the mall. I don't know. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'd get a good discount somewhere.
Selling cell phone cases?
No.
Well, yeah, what mall store would you work at? Yeah, going to be a Sephora rep?
No, I'd probably be at Neiman Marcus.
Okay.
Smart.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I want the discount.
Because that's the highest ticket items. Okay. When we're talking about recovering from a rock bottom or recovering from any moment that's really challenging, I think it takes a lot of vulnerability and integrity and honesty. I guess I'm wondering, like, as you've kind of come out of that time, what role has vulnerability played for you?
Well, I mean, when I went on the Love Hotel, I thought, okay, I'm not going to meet someone on a TV show, but I'm going to go and have fun. And if I meet someone, great. And then when I got there, I did meet people and I thought, oh goodness, I may be developing, you know, feelings for people that I normally wouldn't. And so I did make myself vulnerable. And you know, I think you have to be, because you're living your truth, you know? You are who you are. And I didn't want to make myself vulnerable, but you do. You just have to be who you are.
Like opening your heart again after being in a toxic relationship. It's kind of like that's yeah. like a sense of vulnerability that you're yeah. you're working through.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, you just said that you want a private relationship though. How do you reconcile that?
We'll have to see if I get it, first of all. I mean, because the bottom line is I have one more shot. Uh-huh. So I'm not going to rush into anything. Yeah. I'm just going to meet as many people as I can and travel to see my kids and have some fun. And if I meet someone along the way, then it was meant to be. So we'll have to navigate that. I'm going to say when it happens.
When it happens, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good to manifest, you know, put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I mean, I guess I'll find out how I approach kind of vulnerability in the public eye after being, like, away for so long.
But you're being very vulnerable now with Rock Bottom.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I mean, yeah. I think that's why I was interested in doing a show like this, yeah. is kind of...
Good for you.
Being able to relate to the tough times that other people have gone through.
Yeah, and it will, because you are in a good place. I'm in a good place. I think if people can relate to either of our stories and can take something out of it and make things better, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, good for you that you're using your platform to yeah. inspire people.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of silly stuff and stuff that maybe was just silly for the sake of being silly, and it's nice to do something that hopefully is people can... Mm-hmm. like get something out of to be inspired or to overcome what they're going through. But well, I still like silly stuff too.
I was going to say silly is really good. I call myself Fun Vacation Shannon when yeah. I go on trips, and I'm always slap happy and laughing and doing silly things. And that makes life fun. You got to laugh.
Yeah. I think it's a balance for me, because maybe when you just do so many episodes and you're kind of like, the silly stuff starts to feel kind of forced. It didn't always feel great for me. So I'm being told by my producer to ask you about colonics. What's you like colonics or something? Okay, what's the deal with that?
The gut is responsible for your immune system. So it's very good. And you got to keep your gut healthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's not the most comfortable thing, but I am a proponent of it. I speak about it often. I have administered an enema to multiple cast members on my show.
Wow.
And
that must have been a very bonding experience.
Yes. Yes. Hmm. We know each other intimately. So
I held the hand of a cast mate who was experiencing a colonic. I don't know that I would, you know, not for me.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But it's very healthy. You got to take care of your gut.
Okay. I'm afraid of it.
It's called WeCare. That's thousands of dollars that I went to. And you get a colonic every day, and you can't chew. They just give you liquids. And people pay thousands of dollars to go. It's important.
Oh. Okay.
You need to try it, my friend.
Well, yeah. I'm afraid of it, to be honest. I'm afraid it's gonna mess up my gut. Thing is, I have a pretty okay gut. I
can. Well, how do you know? Have you had a colonoscopy?
Well, no, but I eat dairy without gastric distress. I eat spicy foods with minimal gastric distress.
Okay, well that's nice, but that's more of a digestive thing. I'm talking about gut health.
Mm.
So.
The flora and the fauna.
I'll send you some information.
Okay. Yeah, just maybe I'll check out a pamphlet. can just really get in there. Just really flush out the system.
Okay.
Just clean everything. Just a real full body reset.
There's the silly coming out.
Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, Shannon, thanks so much
for coming
on the show. One final question. What would you like to tell to a younger version of yourself?
I think that I would say stay strong, stand tall. You're going to get through. You're a survivor, and you're going to get through the tough times.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Shannon for sharing her story. And thank you for watching. Let me know what you think in the comments below. I want to know what you want to see more of. Also, how did this episode affect you? What's your own journey with alcohol? If you're sober or sober curious, I'd love to hear a little bit more about it. It's certainly something that's unique for everyone, but I know it's also a powerful thing that a lot of people can relate to. So next week, I'm very excited because we have an episode with Karan Sani. It's a little bit more lighthearted and fun. He's an actor who's been in the Deadpool franchise, as well as a nice Indian boy with Jonathan Groff. He's very funny. He was a real treat to sit down with. I'll look forward to it, and I'll see you there.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.